Greetings, saints of the Most High. How's everybody today? It's so exciting to be with you. I'm so happy to see the faces behind all of the love that you guys have shown us over the years. Thank you so much. If we have time at the end of the session, we'll try to answer some of the questions you may have. But today, I really want to start a foundation that I think, if you really meditate on it, you're going to have such a revelation and understanding of really who you are. Because we have been operating at such a place below the reality of how God sees us. And you got to ask yourself first, is God in you or are you in Him? Because the answer to that question will start to rearrange the way you view your world. I've said over and over again that we are the creators of our world. And this is so important to recognize. There is no time other than right now. There's no future, there's no past. You have right now. And getting hold of that revelation, that understanding, will actually rearrange the frequency that you see things through. We've said so many times that we live in this magnetic energy that we call physical. But if we learn who we are as spirit, then you understand that you were given the power to change your world because of who you are, not who you're going to be, who you are. You see, most people have the memories of a past. And when they think about the past, they bring that memory into the present moment. The past is gone. There is no past. Everything has already been done. Everything has already been created for us as the sons of God. Created for you. Every desire you ever had, everything you could ever possibly want, has been waiting on you to recognize it. You're not going to have something you already do. But we're not comfortable with something so simple as that. We feel like we have to earn it. In fact, when we're children, we're brought into this world by parents who blindly train children to fear, be careful, the world is harsh, watch out for the cars, watch out for those strangers. All of the things that build the foundation in us end up being our own prison. We weigh faith on the scales of our reality, of what our senses can validate. And unless you understand that the reality that we have all grown to believe is real is just purely an illusion because of what we believe, nothing will happen in your life. Over and over again, I'm reminded of the way Jesus spoke. Do you remember? He said, let's look at it. If you've got your Bibles, go to Matthew 13. Look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one, the pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In another translation, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. But you see, when Jesus speaks, he speaks spirit, he speaks life. And what he is illustrating in this parable is if a man discovers who he really is, when you discover where you really reside and who you really are, You go sell everything that you have built, everything that you have saved for a rainy day, everything that you think is valuable to live in this reality, this pearl, as Jesus calls it. What is that reality? The reality that we live in is this image that we create, this physical dimension that we think is real. When Jesus resurrected, all of what we thought was real changed. All humanity changed. Everything was no longer the past. It was created new for his sons of God, for his spiritual beings to have whatever they desire. He says in another verse, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, what is that kingdom? That's whatever you want, whatever you desire. You want wholeness. You want money. You want health. You want your children to live and prosper. All of that is yours, all of it. But the prison we've built from the image we've created resists having what is already there. The reason I said the past no longer exists is because there's only this present moment. There's not a future, there's not a past. Your memory brings back into the present moment what you believe to be real. So you experience it. If you had some kind of trauma, if you had some kind of disease, if something happened to you, you bring that feeling and give it power in the present. So you live it out again. It's not real. It's past. It's over. The memory of everything that you failed, everything that did not prosper, is only alive when you believe it to be real and you bring it into the present moment. This present moment is the reality of eternally now. You're living in the future of God's heart right now. There's no heaven you're going to. Heaven is in you. Let me ask you a question. Does God live in the world, or does the world live in him? The universes, the worlds he's created, are they in him, or is he in them? And if the worlds are in him and he's in you, what does that mean? It means you created with your creator everything that exists. You're the source the same way he's the source. That's the kingdom of heaven that resides in everyone who trusts what he says. Now, most people won't sell everything they have because they really don't trust that pearl of great price. They believe they need to hold on to what is keeping them locked into the prison they've created. Stone by stone, this prison of reason. The jailer is our senses, what our senses tell us. All of that is manufactured from the idea that Christ did not take you out of the fear that you were conditioned to believe is real. That's the foundation of the world most people create. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, are you looking at the shadow of the one who stands behind? Or are you looking at the shadow of the person you've created? The source of all things resides in you. But you can say, okay, but I've got this disease. I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have that. And you're standing in this state of being that you've created. All these other places to be are right beside you. Here's an example. Say you're looking for a door to get out of this prison that you're in. The room is dark. So you take a lantern, a flashlight. But you only look at what's in front of you with this flashlight. The door could be beside you, could be behind you. But where you're looking, where your energy is all you're going to see. And there's no door there. So you just assume there is no way out. I'm locked into this. My beliefs have become my prison. My world is what I perceive from my senses. And all of the words that Christ spoke were spirit, our spirit, not were, our spirit and our life. And his resurrection took everyone out of captivity that believes in that resurrected Christ. But your belief has been weighed on the scale of what you can reason. We call intellect, doubt, and skepticism. All of the frequencies of the language we've learned in this reality that we think is real have become the foundation that we draw our experiences and understanding from. Let's look at the flip chart. Here's something I want you to meditate on. Life does not happen to you, it reflects what you think about constantly. Your world is your mirror. So it doesn't happen to you, it happens through you. So what are you thinking about constantly? What is in your mind constantly? Because that's the frequency that you're building inside of you. And it's just like water. You can pour water in a container and it assumes the shape of the container. Water is one of those magnificent elements from heaven. Did you know that hydrogen and oxygen together, two atoms of hydrogen and oxygen, form what we call water? It's one of the lightest elements of the molecule chart, element chart. And yet it burns at 100 degrees centigrade. No other element with those chemicals or those elements in it burn at that kind of degrees. It doesn't, when it freezes, it floats. It doesn't sink to the bottom. Water is the spiritual reflection of who you are because you're two-thirds water in your body. So the spiritual reality of who you are created this world that we live in from this magnificent element called water. It's mind-boggling. If you think about water floating instead of sinking to the bottom, it's what keeps this earth alive. If it reacted like all the other elements on the planet, it would sink. Warm water would rise and it would freeze and sink. There'd be no lakes, there'd be no fish, there'd be no life. And because it's white when it becomes ice, it would reflect the heat and this planet would be barren. So, something as simple as that is in the first two verses of Genesis, when God says he created heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You and I were those faces of the waters. We were created with everything we needed at the beginning. And all of history played out so that you could recognize that where you are today is not where you were created to be. He has so much inside of you that wants to express itself inside of everything you touch. And when you recognize that kind of power, fear leaves you, compassion overtakes you. You see the frightened people in your life and you begin to smile. You're not frightened any longer. You walk through life and you're absolutely in joy and in peace because you know you were resurrected in Christ before the foundation of this world. So if you want to look out and look for signs, you don't understand what Christ gave you. Signs follow you, they don't change you. You change your circumstances and the signs will follow you. All it requires is A change of your state of being, of your consciousness. Are you looking at the shadow or are you looking at the source? Go over to Hebrews. Let's look at chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good thing to come and not the very image of the things that can never, with the same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Are you trying to be perfect in the law? For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, are you a worshiper? Would have no more consciousness of sin. So sin was destroyed unless you have the consciousness of doubt and unbelief. Then you're not punished for your sins. You're punished by your sins because of unbelief. And that's the prisons we built. We don't feel like we're worthy. We measure our perfection against the law, which Jesus fulfilled so that we could live perfect before the Father, because the Father is who is in you. That is the kingdom of heaven that resides in you. So all the lack you think you have, all the pain and disease you think you have, it's because of this state that you believe. You change the room you're looking from, and everything he created you to be is in that other room. That's who you are. But it requires a conscious understanding that Christ gave you everything when he gave you the kingdom. You're not a doer, you're a receiver. There's nothing left to do but to believe what Christ has done. That is the believing. That takes no effort. But we're not comfortable thinking things have to be simple. We're taught that unless we struggle, unless we make effort, then we don't deserve what we get. No, we don't deserve it, but he gave it to us anyway. Look in Romans chapter 12. Don't become like the people of this world. This is verse 2. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know. Then you will be able to know the will of God. What is good and pleasing to Him is perfect. Changing the way you think is moving from one state of being that you've created into the next creation that God had for you before the foundation of the world. There's not anything left that has not been created. Science is not creating anything. They may take chemicals and atoms and rearrange them to have a different pattern or a different element, but they were always created. They don't create the atoms, they don't create the energy. So what I'm telling you is to understand that your efforts, your desires need to be focused in a different direction. They need to be focused on the reality of it becoming now in this present moment. And don't leave that knowledge, don't leave that understanding. The seed that they plant for a tree has the tree inside the seed. When it's put in the ground, it's going to unfold into what was put in the seed from the beginning. That's who you are. Unfold into what you have become, what you will become now. It's not going to be coming in the future. There's nothing to wait on. It's already been done. But you say, but I'm in this pain. I don't have this new car. I don't have this house that I want. You can pray to a God that you put in heaven all you want. That's not going to change. The God that you think is in heaven is in you. He's already given you the kingdom. He's given you the pleasures of everything you desire. That's how this world works. We have what we think about, what we desire. And most of those things are anti what Christ wants. Why? Because we still live in fear, because we don't believe what Christ said he completed. In John 3:16, we see that God so loved the world. That's the consciousness of every man that would ever live on this planet, that world, that he gave his son. So when Christ delivered on what he promised the Father he would do, the world is now Christ's. It's his. And when we take him to be our creator, our savior, our Lord, he now resides in you. So the same one that created everything that we think we want resides in you. He is the source. So anything that is not the source is your manufactured belief from the image you've created. He didn't create you to doubt. He didn't create you to have unbelief. He created you to live in harmony and perfection with the one that resides in you. Become co-creators. That was our origin. You remember what it says in Ephesians? Let's rehearse that. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Without blame before him. You're not condemned by him. You're not judged by him. He's already received you and lives within you. You never left this place in him. Your belief that you did is what created the reality you live in. And you call it harsh, and you call it criminal. And you look around and you see all of the things that you think is wrong and bad, but you don't take the responsibility that you created the world you live in. That's the power you have. Wake up in the morning and say, I cannot believe I feel so good. I cannot believe that I live in this divine health. It's unbelievable all of the prosperity that I have in my life. Don't use your senses or your checkbook or anything else to validate what you know to be real. But you have to know it. It can't be some emotional statement. It can't be an affirmation. It can't be name it and claim it. It cannot be that. It has to be an understanding of where you stand in Him. If it's not, then the prison you live in will just be a place where you reside. And you'll be afraid to leave because it's familiar. Most people stay in their prison because it's familiar. They can wake up and know what they're going to do every day. They don't like to be still, they don't like to be quiet. But when you plant that seed, you don't dig it up every day to see if it's sprouting. You can't. You have to know that it's going to perform the way seeds perform. And if you do, and you stand in that state of knowing, then you're living in the end, not the beginning. You're living in the knowledge that is already completed. And your state of being starts to change. You move from one room to the other. And you realize everything you were holding on to because you were afraid, you let go. That's what that parable is all about. You go sell everything that you think is valuable because you found what is valuable. You found the one that resides in you, that's given you everything, that you are the one that has created the circumstances that you bow to. You knock at the door and you start to realize you're the one that locked it. You're the one that can't get in because you've locked the door. You become the one screaming and crying to God, not recognizing that you and the cry are the same. That God didn't change your circumstances because they're bringing you closer to the reality of what I'm telling you today. You're getting a recognition and an understanding that nothing in this external realm is your problem. What you believe is the projector that's putting the pictures and the images on the screen of your world. And you're the director, author, and producer of the movie you're watching. When you can take responsibility for that, you start moving your bandwidth and the frequency, and you start attract a different type of revelation from the Spirit of God. And it doesn't come out there, it comes within here. Everything around you changes. You're no longer afraid of people. You're no longer frightened of anything. Because you know the one that resides in you has created all things for your good pleasure. He says, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. You want to live in the kingdom? Then don't be afraid. You want to live in the kingdom? Recognize everything you could possibly want is already residing in the present moment. Okay, I think we've already touched on this. If we recognize that what we think matters, then we have to identify where our trust and thoughts are. When you can identify where your thoughts are, then you recognize if you're trusting God or you're trusting the physical realm. That recognition shows you how responsible you are for your circumstances. And you might tell me, well, brother, I didn't choose to have this. I didn't choose to feel this way. I didn't choose to have this done to me. Really? God said, everything you desire is yours. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what he said. I'm giving you all things. So what are you asking for? In the quiet, in the silence of night, what are you thinking about? Where is your trust? Do you believe the external pain in your body or the finances in your books? In your checkbook, whatever. That's where your trust is. When you have settled it and know that everything has already been done for you, and every person out there in your world is because they're playing a part that you created. Then you start taking the responsibility. Well, I'm going to write a different script, I'm going to live by a different movie. A man who believes he is a physical, who is physical, will not see the finished work because his consciousness is vibrating at the bandwidth of doubt and unbelief, which is sin. And it's like I've said, that's what creates the realm you're living in. Doubt and unbelief will create the circumstances that you're fighting every day. That's the circumstances, and those are the people you put in your world to make sure those circumstances come against you. All things move forward, move towards fulfillment. All things work for God's good. Any effort to improve on that is doubt and unbelief. Nothing unseen remains in that state, the spirit realm. Our refusal to believe this re releases our images. Man believes he chooses by action. The choice was made by the assumption. We are spirit beings. Our choice to judge what our senses tell us reveals our physical nature, not our spirit. Read that again. Our choice to judge what our senses tell us reveals our physical nature, not our spirit. If you believe you have to be in the judgment, you have to judge what is good, what's bad. You have to be the judge. Then you're telling God, I'm relying on my senses to give me evidence of what's good and what's bad. And I measure that evidence against my physical circumstances. Listen to that. When you use your senses to weigh your faith, you don't have faith. When you use what is revealed in your physical realm to say, okay, I am spirit, you don't react. You don't judge. You see them as part of a person who believes his past and not his present. When you're living in the present moment, everything you see in the physical is the past. It's becoming what you are living. Your physical realm around you is becoming what you presently believe. It will not happen overnight. Your physical realm didn't come to you overnight. Your ability to think correctly does not change overnight, but observing your thoughts gives you an understanding of where your energy is going. This vibrational frequency that surrounds you is attracting what you believe, and what you believe is creating the physical realm that you walk in. Changing the way you think and the way you believe starts to interact and change the circumstances around you. Time is a big illusion. There's only right now. There's no future. There's no past. Everything you want is right here, right now. And your resistance to understand that or to believe that means you're counting on your senses to tell you what's real. Because your senses will only react to the past person that you were. That's not who you are. That's who you were. Knowing who you are starts to interact with the reality of what God gave you in creation from the beginning. You're that seed that unfolds everything you could possibly want here, right now. Start watering it with love and recognition that it's true. Water that seed now with faith, not with doubt, not with unbelief. Don't let anything change the state you're beginning to understand right now. I know a lot of these things I'm saying to you may not be familiar and may be kind of hard to understand. You have to start watering the seed where you're at. Recognize you're responsible for your circumstances. But they don't have to stay there. They do not have to remain. The same way you walk out the door is the same way you change your consciousness. And you start to attract what God gave you from the beginning. This is not hyperbole. This is not just something I'm just telling you. It's reality. Every day you wake up and just keep telling the Lord, oh my gosh, I cannot believe everything is so wonderful. I cannot believe how all of my children are calling me and telling me how much they love me. All of my enemies have disappeared. All I have is people that love me. I'm surrounded by good things my whole life. Lord, it's so wonderful, everything you're doing for me and done for me. Everything you've done for me. Everything you've done for me. The memories of the past, gone. Gone. Don't give them any more power. Don't give them any more life. They're not real. They passed. Now is the only thing we have. Being is cause. Action is his shadow. Think about that. We look at an apple and we don't recognize that's the cause. We carry both the cause and the effect inside our spirit. We cause what we want, and the effect is our belief. All the action is shadow. That's what you're seeing in the physical realm. You cannot change the shadow without losing your image. So when you stand before a mirror and you see this image, do you change the reflection or do you fix your hair in your face? Unless you can change the reflection and allow the source, who is God, to alter your appearance, all you're doing is recognizing that you're physical and you're protecting this image. This image is what's holding you in your state of being and in the prison you've built. Now, here's something to let you know if you're spirit or physical. I want you to answer this question. When do you think you are? When do you think you are? Because if you think you're at 12:30 on Friday afternoon or 1 o'clock or whatever it is, wherever you're at, that means you're putting this image into a place in time. You're preserving this image. You're giving it a reason to exist because you're attaching it to a time and to a location. A spirit being lives in the present moment. There's no future. There's no past. Everything is because this is who you are. This is who you are. You're not someone else that's going somewhere in the future or in another place at a certain time. You are the I am that Moses saw in the bush. You are that God in you. That's where God resides. Does he not say, you are in me? If you are in him, which you are, then you are everywhere he is. And God is not confined to a world. The power that God gave each one of us is so limited by our unbelief. We have to recognize that, and we have to make the effort right now to stay conscious of our spiritual connection to the one who is, the one who is greater than all things that we feel like have oppressed us, have made us not who we think we are. Water conforms to the shape of its container. In the same way, your life forms from the images created by your mind's frequency. I already gave you the understanding of how water is the most unbelievable spiritual element in this environment. And because we are made up of 60 to 70% water, God is saying, okay, I'm making you the world you live in. You have the same ability to change and become the miracle that water is on this planet. Without the elements of water and the way it reacts, there'd be no life in this physical realm. That's who we are. We are that spiritual dynamic in this realm. And we're not confined to a space. We are part of the universe that God created. There's no limit to what God gave us. There's no limit to what you can do. But you have to believe that he loves you so much that he gave you the power to co-create with him. You want your life to change? You have to be understanding of you are the one that put yourself in prison. You are the one that believes you need man to help you. God is there who created man. It's like Romans talking about man was bowing to the creatures he's created. That's what man has done. We are bowing to the shadow instead of to the light. the source that has made all things real. And that's the Spirit God in you. That's the light. So don't bow to the shadow. Become that spiritual essence of Christ in you, which is not a hope of glory. It is the glory. We are the glory of God. And if we don't live that way, it's because we have doubt and unbelief, which is what started in the garden. But that all changed on resurrection. It was so radical that most people still live in the Old Testament. They still live in the shadow of the law. They don't recognize that the light came at resurrection to change the history of mankind forever. And your belief begins to change that in your life. Okay, we must be over. I'm out of flip chart. So, who would he have left? I see all these faces. There's some quizzical looks on some of these faces. We want to do this again, and we're going to try to make this a foundational beginning. I think we're going to make this available to them. Yeah. So you'll be able to get a copy of this Zoom meeting, and you'll be able to study some of the things that might need to be heard again. We have time for a couple of questions. It all goes with our unbelief. If we don't believe that Christ fulfilled everything he was there to fulfill, then we're going to be tormented by anything we believe.
Hey, Emerson, thank you so much. It's an absolute privilege to meet you. How long did it take you to get this stuff?
It's work in progress. Nothing ever reaches a conclusion in the spirit realm. See, the problem that most people have is that we think we live in a linear time. The reality of the spirit is that we are multidimensional outside of time because time is the restriction that this world lives in. It helps build the prison that people live in. They believe that there's a start and there's a finish. If you go to a movie theater, you see the film has a start, a middle, and an ending. And people have automatically assumed, well, that's how life is. The start and the finish happen at the same time at resurrection. There is no start, there is no finish. There's eternity in him. And this all requires fear to dissolve. Fear has to dissolve, and it dissolves in the image we create. Once you make the decision that this image that you have created and you have evidence to validate from circumstances and whatever you create, that image is a linear image, but that's not who you are. This physical image is also a creation of our idea of how we must appear and how we must think. All of this was formed from 0 to 6 years in human beings. Once a child is 6 years old, their consciousness has been formed. Well-meaning parents, people that love their children, created the fear and the suspicion and all of the problems that people encounter in their life in those years. So that's why when this physical image that we protect dissolves, so does the fear that has kept you locked up in doubt and unbelief. So I'm not telling you to hate the physical image that you portray. I'm just telling you, don't believe it. The one that has created it will have to go through the transformation. You don't change the shadow until you change the source of the shadow, which is this image. And that only comes from the Holy Spirit.
Could I make a comment?
Okay.
I've been listening to your videos over and over for the past 8 months. I don't listen to anybody else. I've transcribed. I read it every morning. Eat my flesh and drink my blood is so powerful. And I'm ready. I'm packed and ready. I'm just waiting for him to tell me where I'm going. But it's been life-changing for me, and I'm just so thankful. So I just wanted to comment. The videos are out there, they're available, and they're life-changing. And I remember you saying when you went to heaven, it took like years to kind of process it all so you could communicate it. I think that's how you said it, but anyway, I'm very thankful for you.
Well, thank you for the comments. And I just want to encourage every one of you, you're not waiting on anything. It's already inside of you. Live it as if it is happening to you right now. The only one that doesn't believe it is the image you created. That image won't believe it because it needs validation by circumstances and situations in your life. Nothing external is going to change you. Life doesn't happen to you, it happens through you. Live that.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Emerson. What a privilege and an honor to be connected here to meet you. My wife and I pastor over here, north of Seattle, for a number of years now. One of the things that we've been following you guys ever since we met Anna at the Seattle Revival Center years back in 2021. But one of the things that my wife and I, trying to teach this to the church. We feel like sometimes there's obviously, like you just mentioned, well-meaning parents have taught us certain things or certain paradigms. And personally, I feel like, we'll be making progress, but then I don't know if it's that spirit of fear or something that kind of tries to creep back in and make us just kind of like tone it down, or come back to those, religious mindsets. Is there something that in your experience you kind of practice in a practical manner to break through and just continue with what the revelation that you know God has already given you?
See the end and live in it. See what you desire that church and those people to look like. Okay? Get an image of it. See it. And when you see that, don't move from it. That's the reality that you will begin to see. You won't hear all the doubt and unbelief. You'll see the finished, and you have to stay in that state. And you're not trying to. Here's the thing you have to realize. You're the only one in the world you see. There's nobody else there. Because we created every person we see in the world we're in. They're playing a part. We created them to play this part that's resisting what we believe. Change the way you see them by seeing the end, your desire, right now, and live it. Don't move from it. You don't need validation when you know God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means your desire. That means what you want. And it's yours. But your resistance to see it finished is part of the process of dissolving the image you've created.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Emerson.
I have a question about let the dead bury the dead. Because I my problem is, how do you not judge, but yet Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. I'm
All of that was before resurrection.
right. So
Okay.
everybody's resurrected. It's just walking in it, knowing it for ourselves and living in the beginning where the end is. That's my life.
Living in the finished work.
Right.
You're either surviving or you're living.
Okay.
And living is knowing that everything you desire has already been done. Listen, there's not going to be anything else created since the beginning. When God said in the beginning and he created, everything was done. There'll never be another creation. Like I said, science will discover things, they'll rearrange molecules and elements, but they can't create anything. Neither can we. Because he finished everything we wanted before we see ourselves as flesh and blood, because we're spirit. And that recognition removes all the doubt and unbelief. We create the shadow from the doubt and unbelief.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for doing this for us. I guess my initial just unction was to ask you know, that horrible spirit of religion. So the gift of fasting, how I really want to partake and I know there's just blessings in fasting with God and when he, but then I feel like it's hard to separate legalism or legalistic thinking. I don't know. How do you battle that kind of mindset? Do you know what I mean?
I think what you have to recognize is all of the struggles we go through are not external. They're internal.
Yes.
Okay? You haven't made the decision that everything you need, you have. You haven't made that decision because our senses have been our God. They have kept us in the prison. Reason has been the bars that we stay behind. The locked doors are because we don't believe we locked them. When you take the power of what God gave you through resurrection, then you don't see any more circumstances. You laugh at doubt and unbelief because you already know it's done. But that has to be resolute. That has to be something that if you're not getting pleasure from the struggle, then you can live in the completion. I'm going to say it again. If you're not getting pleasure from the struggle, you're not living in the present moment. That has to be real.
Thank you.
Well, my beloved, we're going to do this again. We'll have a letter come out and let you know when the next sessions will be. How many of you like this format? Is it okay? Is it good? Okay. So, I love you guys. I love you. I'll see
Thank
you
you.
next time, okay?
Thank
Thank
you,
you so much.
Emerson.
God bless you.
Blessings, Emerson. Thank you so much.
All
Love
right,
you.
brother. Bye-bye now.
Emerson, thank you.
Yep.
Love you. Bye.